Welcome to the City of Refuge podcast, where our mission is to equip a diverse community of Christ followers to make him known.
As was said this morning, we are in the season of Advent, the season of hope. And as a way to enter into that season, we are actually going to be studying for the next couple weeks the stories of the five women who are listed in Jesus' genealogy in Matthew chapter 1. So these women are Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, Bathsheba, and Mary. And if you read our preaching team newsletter this week, you saw in there that we said these stories are stories that are filled with both beauty and brokenness. They are stories that point to the grace of God that is unlimited and is full. And so we want to be faithful to the text of Scripture. We want to be faithful to these stories. And so we will not be glossing over the stories too much. We actually want the text of Scripture and the stories of these women to shine, because they show us the grace, unlimited grace, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But at the same time, we know that we are worshiping in a context that is very different. Usually when we would be here in person, we would have, you know, the kids go downstairs and the adults stay up here at this time. But we know that now adults and parents are worshiping with children in their living rooms. And so one thing that we have really asked is for parents, before each of these sermons, please read the stories that are listed in that preaching newsletter that was sent out this weekend, and discern for yourself. Is this a story that I think my children are ready to hear right now, or is there a way for me as a parent to actually listen to these stories and look at these stories first before deciding when our children should be able to enter into that story? And today's sermon will be no different, and so I really encourage you parents, just as I'm giving a little bit of an intro, please discern and decide whether you want your children to be in the room as you are listening to the sermon. Maybe it would be wise for you to just kind of push the pause button right now, watch the sermon at a different time, and then decide at that time if your children should listen to the sermon. Because we will be talking about a lot of very broken, but a lot of beautiful things that happen in the stories of these women. I can't say exactly where this will take us. You know, it could be a PG-13 sermon. But just use your discretion as we enter into our time today, because we want to be faithful to the text of Scripture, and we also want to be faithful to our context as a church. The idea for this sermon series came from a book by Francine Rivers called A Lineage of Grace. So the exact same title, A Lineage of Grace. And through this book, what Francine Rivers does is she tries to retell the stories of these five women in a couple short novellas. So each of these women has a couple pages where she tries to tell the story. She uses her imagination well and retells the stories beyond the one or two chapters that we see in Scripture, kind of capturing the cultural context, imagining the kinds of conversations that were happening between people. So if you have some time, please go ahead and grab this book. It's a very enjoyable read, and it also points to the grace of God in Scripture. But for today, we'll be focused on Genesis chapter 38. Genesis chapter 38, that's the story of Tamar. Genesis 38, Tamar, and Tamar is a woman of great hope. And I will, as I go through the sermon, actually be reading Genesis 38 in its entirety at different points. I want to encourage you to just, you know, as you will, if you would have your Bibles open, if you want to follow along that way, if you just want to sit and listen to the words as we read them together and as we go through the sermon, feel free to do that as well. There will be no words on the screen as we go through the narrative of Tamar this morning. So Genesis chapter 38. Again, the story of Tamar is not on your top 20 Sunday school Bible story. This is a very broken and difficult story. So let's go ahead and we'll start by reading Genesis chapter 38 from verse 1 through 11. And throughout the sermon, we'll read the other verses. Genesis 38, verse 1. It happened at that time that Judah went down from his brothers and turned aside to a certain Adullamite whose name was Hira. There Judah saw the daughter of a certain Canaanite whose name was Shua. He took her and went to her, and she conceived and bore a son, and he called his name Ur. She conceived again and bore a son, and she called his name Onan. Yet again she bore a son, and she called his name Shelah. Judah was in Chezeb when she bore him. And Judah took a wife for his firstborn Ur, and her name was Tamar. But Ur, Judah's firstborn, was wicked in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord put him to death. Then Judah said to Onan, "Go in to your brother's wife and perform the duty of a brother-in-law to her, and raise up offspring for your brother." But Onan knew that the offspring would not be his. So whenever he went to his brother's wife, he would waste the semen on the ground so as not to give offspring to his brother. And what he did was wicked in the sight of the Lord, and he put him to death also. Then Judah said to Tamar, his daughter-in-law, "Remain a widow in your father's house till Shelah, my son, grows up." For he feared that he would die like his brothers. So Tamar went and remained in her father's house. And we'll stop there. Now remember, this is a story that happened about 4,000 years ago. So one of the things that I want you to do as a congregation as we enter into this story is to actually think in those terms. I want you to relate and have empathy for these people who lived 4,000 years ago as you read their story. Because it's going to be very easy to judge what you see in these stories based on you looking back from 4,000 years. But have some empathy for the people in this story. I want you to also think of yourself and see yourself in the story. Are there characters that you might identify with? Are there situations that you've been through before? Are there situations that you've seen that you have overlooked before? Identify with the story itself. Now let's enter into our story and see the main character in this story. Her name is Tamar. And by many accounts, at that time, Tamar would have been just a young teenager getting ready to be married. Her name, Tamar, means a date palm, literally a palm tree that is located in the desert. Now that signifies something of beauty and something of grace, something that survives in desolate places, in places where there's not that much water. Tamar, that is what her name means. But as we read in our story today, her story is almost everything but graceful and beautiful. It's definitely a story of survival. You see, first, Tamar was married to a man named Ur, one of Judah's sons. Many people believe that at the time, Judah was living and residing in Canaan because he took for himself a Canaanite woman as a wife. And so people also believe that Tamar was probably from the land of Canaan too. But Ur, Judah's first son, was a very wicked and violent man, very abusive towards Tamar. She was faithful to him, but he was faithless. He abused her physically and emotionally. And he did things that were disgraceful in the sight of God. So much was his wickedness an affront to the Lord of all creation that God put his life to an end. Now, according to the customs of the time, if you read in Deuteronomy chapter 25, Deuteronomy 25 kind of gives a little bit of a history of what was to happen when somebody died and there was no child to kind of continue that line. Now, why was this so important? Well, you see, in that time, a lineage, and particularly a lineage through a son, was a way to establish your rights in that society, your right to land, your right to security. In that time, a son was almost like a social security safety net. Without a son, the family had no way of continuing their lineage, And without a son, a widow or a mother without that son was almost as good as dead, with no one to provide for her and no one to protect her. And so there was devised a way to kind of take care of this 4,000 years ago, where a brother would stand in for his dead brother, produce children with the wife and the widow, but those children would not be his. Those children would serve to continue the line and to inherit things like land that provided and protected the widow. Now, Onan, the second son of Judah, looked at all of this and looked at this system that was meant to protect the widow Tamar. And instead of doing that, what he did was he didn't abuse her like his brother Ur did. But what he did was he used her for his own pleasure. Onan used Tamar for his own pleasure. He wanted all the pleasure of having sexual relations with Tamar without any of the responsibility of actually being a father who came in and protected her by providing her a son. And this was a wicked thing in the eyes of God. So there Tamar was, a woman who by her first husband was abused physically and abused emotionally. Lots of shame attached to that story. And in another instance where she could have actually had a son, now there was another man who was using her for his own pleasure, not giving her the son that she deserved, the son that could provide for her in that time, the son that could protect her in that time. And there she stood, Tamar. But God saw this as well. God saw what Onan was doing and said, this man is a gratifier. All he wants is his own pleasure. And so God also took Onan's life. Imagine the grief that Tamar must have felt as she stood there seeing no future for herself or for her lineage and family. Imagine the pain that she must have felt, the hopelessness of seeing herself as good as dead in that society, with no one to provide for her and with no one to protect her. She was desperate, she was despised, she was feared, and she was even cast out of her husband's home. People may have started to spread rumors about Tamar. Everybody that she married ended up dead. Everyone that she touched was struck down by the living God, and she was ostracized from her society. Imagine what it was like to be Tamar, to be in that situation of desperation and hope. Let's keep reading Genesis chapter 38, verse 12. This is what Judah decides. After he has seen what has happened, he decides that there is no way that he is going to connect his third son, Shelah, to Tamar. And so he sends Tamar home. But in the course of time, this is what happens. In the course of time, the wife of Judah, Shua's daughter, died. When Judah was comforted, he went up to Timnah to his sheep shearers, he and his friend Hira the Adullamite. And when Tamar was told, your father-in-law is going up to Timnah to shear his sheep, she took off her widow's garments and covered herself with a veil, wrapping herself up, and she sat at the entrance to Enaim, which is on the road to Timnah. For she saw that Shelah was grown up, and she had not been given to him in marriage. When Judah saw her, he thought she was a prostitute, for she had covered her face. He turned to her at the roadside and said, come, let me come into you. For he did not know that she was his daughter-in-law. She said, what will you give me that you may come into me? And he answered, I will send you a goat from the flock. And she said, if you give me a pledge until you send it. He said, what pledge shall I give you? She replied, your signet and your cord and your staff that is in your hand. So he gave them to her and went into her, and she conceived by him. Then she arose and went away Taking off her veil, she put on the garments of her widowhood. When Judah sent the young goat by his friend the Adullamite to take back the pledge from the woman's hand, he did not find her, and he asked the men of the place, "Where is the cult prostitute who was at Anaim at the roadside?" And they said, "No cult prostitute has been here." So he returned to Judah and said, "I have not found her." Also the men of the place said, "No cult prostitute has been here." And Judah replied, "Let her keep the things as her own, or we shall be laughed at. You see, I sent this young goat, and you did not find her." So here Judah is. He has lost his first two sons. He has lost his wife as well. And so he's traveling to a place where his sheep are being tended. And as Tamar hears this, Tamar decides she's tried everything. She's tried to be faithful to husbands who have been abusive and husbands who have used her. She's tried to be faithful and to wait for the third son, Shelah, son of Judah, to grow up so that he could perform the rites that were required of him in that culture. But he was denied to her. And it's very, very hard to see this because we're reading in our passage and it seems like things move very quickly. But most people who have studied this passage and studied the culture actually think that a couple of years have passed between the time when Tamar is sent to her father's house as a widow and the time where she interacts with Judah on the road to Timnah. So Tamar has been waiting faithfully for what was promised to her and to her household. As a woman of hope, she looks and she says, there is something about the lineage of Judah that is special, something that has been promised by the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And every single person who is meant to protect that promise is not doing what they're supposed to do. Tamar is desperate. Tamar is looking at the clock and the window to actually have a son closing. Tamar has been grieving the loss of wicked husbands, but husbands that she was faithful to nonetheless. Tamar is waiting. Tamar watches as her life starts to become a life that is ebbing away. Darkness is not just in her clothes of mourning. The darkness is closing in on her very existence. Without protection, without provision, without hope. And so Tamar looks at this desperate situation and she decides to take matters into her own hands. Many people will look at this passage and judge the actions of Tamar. But I want you to look, as we said at the beginning, do you have empathy for a woman who has tried to do everything right by her husbands, by her culture, and every time justice has been denied her? She's desperate, and so she looks to take matters into her own hands. She steps in, disguised, and she lures her father-in-law, because that is the only person who might be able to keep that lineage going. And he sleeps with her, and she ends up going back to her father's house. Now look also at the recklessness of Judah. A man who has lost his wife and a man in mourning. But look at the things that he does. He goes and he sleeps with a random person who he meets on the road to his destination. Look at the brokenness of Judah as we see a lot of echoes of some of his forefathers, some people in his family line. He gives this random person he has never met before, supposedly, his staff that was given to him by his father, his signet, so something that actually identified him, something that only he would have in his possession. He gives all those things to Tamar as sort of a gap in between when he can give the goat that he has promised her. Look at the brokenness in this story. Now, it will be easy to judge the brokenness in this story and say how broken those people were so many years ago. But church, Their brokenness is not too far from our own. When we look at our society and we look at our culture, when we look even at our lives, we see that every finger that we point at Tamar and Judah points back at the society that we live in. Our society and our culture is broken, full of sin, full of rebellion against our Lord and our God. Desperate times we are in, and so many times we take matters into our own hands for our own preservation, for our own pleasure. We do this all the time instead of relying on God and relying on His promises. Instead of protecting those who are most vulnerable in our societies, like the widows and the orphans and those who are cast out. Instead of providing justice for those who are oppressed, we look the other way and we heap even more injustice onto them. This is Tamar's story, but this is not far from our story today. As we move on in our story, we see that 3 months later, Judah gets word that Tamar is pregnant as a widow in her father's house. And how quickly Judah is to forget his own sin. How quickly he is to point the finger at Tamar and to say to everyone there, bring her out and burn her because she has been unfaithful as a widow in her father's house. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound like you or me today? People who sin so greatly against our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we beg for His forgiveness, and we receive that forgiveness. But in the next breath, we point fingers at people who have sinned against God as well. And we say to them, oh, this person needs to be punished for their sin. We never extend that same grace that we've received from God through Christ. And we call them out and we ask for their punishment instead of for grace. Church, we must be careful about pointing fingers at other people. We must be careful about limiting the grace of God that is poured out bountifully and recklessly on all people. We must be careful in our lives and in the lives of people around us. We must be careful to see that our God is a God who doesn't look at any story and say that is beyond redemption. God is a God who is in the business of redeeming. God is a God who uses crooked and broken sticks to draw straight and wholesome lines of grace. God is a God who, in His sovereignty, chooses and elects to say, this story of brokenness, this woman who's been broken and abused, this story of brokenness is the one that I will use to bring the Savior and the Messiah of the world into this world. It is through this lineage and through the actions of Tamar that Jesus Christ, many generations later, comes to the earth. You see, if it was me, I would have moved just a chapter later and seen a person of great courage and faith. Joseph who had fled every form of sexual immorality with Potiphar's wife. That would have been my pick to continue the line of Jesus. But that is not the God that we serve. The God that we serve is a God who looks at the most broken and wretched situations and says, I choose this. I choose this person. I choose their faith and their resolve and their hope to bring about blessing to the nations. God, in His infinite mercy, looks on Tamar's story and the brokenness in this place with her father-in-law and says, out of this, I will produce someone who will be a great, 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 great grandparent of the person Jesus Christ. A lineage of hope born out of desperation. Justice born out of oppression. That is the story of Tamar. And it's going to be very easy as we look at this story to take a few verses where Tamar has fallen and made her mistakes and have those verses become the image that we paint of her. But how many of us would like that to be done to ourselves? How many of us want our lowest and our most broken and our most flawed and desperate situations to be the things that people use to describe exactly who we are for all eternity? Forgetting to look to the passage and to also see Tamar, a woman who was loyal to abusive and used husbands. To see Tamar, a woman who fought for her justice. To see Tamar, a woman who was highly favored by God. To see Tamar, a woman who just a few verses later becomes the mother of not one, but two boys. Healthy boys who continue the lineage of Christ. One of them named Perez, which means breakthrough. See in there that God was orchestrating and moving breakthrough for Tamar so that everything in her life that was a barrier was now something that Jesus Christ in his grace would break through so that Tamar would become a person who was celebrated in the times of Jesus as a mother of the faith, as a mother of hope, as a steward of the promises that God gave to Abraham. There's no barrier in your life, no shame-filled thing that you have done or that has been done to you that can stand in the way of you and the grace of God. Because at the end of this genealogy that is written in Matthew chapter 1, we see Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, the final breakthrough in the life of every human being that puts their faith and hope and trust in him. Jesus Christ breaking through every barrier in your life. Jesus Christ has time to take away all the pain and all the shame of every hopeless situation in your life. Jesus Christ is our final breakthrough. Jesus Christ is the one who blesses the womb of Tamar. Our God, Father, Son, and Spirit working relentlessly to make sure that Tamar's story is not a story of desperation for eternity, but a story of hope, a story of a promise kept, a story of faithfulness, a story of restoration. Whatever time or someone has taken from you, God is patient, and through Jesus Christ, he will restore. Whatever brokenness you have felt in your life, whatever thing stands between you and the love of God as a barrier, press into the love of Jesus Christ as breakthrough that pushes through that barrier and gives you hope in this season. Maybe for some of us, the barrier is this year, 2020. We want this year to be a year that we just forget and start over. Remember that God is a God of hope in the time of desperation. Keep 2020 in your story, just like Jesus kept the story of Tamar and Judah in his story, in his lineage, a lineage that was broken, but ultimately a lineage that God used to bring about the salvation of the world. God is a God of grace. There is no shadow that is too dark for him to light up. There is no mountain or barrier in your life that is too high for the grace of God to climb up. There is no lie that you have been told about yourself or anything that you have experienced that God, through Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life, will not tear down. There is nothing in this world that can stand between you and the hope that God gives to you in Jesus Christ. Tamar truly lived up to her name. Beautiful, surviving in desperate places, grace-filled, not because of the things that she had done, but because of the one who gave everything up for her. Remember God's grace. Sit patiently in God's grace. Continue to hope against all hope and the promise of a Messiah and a Savior. Those things kept Tamar hopeful and ready. And I pray that the promise of the return of the King will also keep us hopeful and ready. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Please pray with me. Our God, you are good, and your grace, no matter how much we fall, is always there to comfort us, to cover us, and to surround us. May we be people that lean into your grace as we look at the stories of the other women in the lineage of Jesus Christ, moving all the way from Abraham down to Joseph and Mary and to Jesus Christ, our Savior. God, may we identify the Tamars in our lives, the people who have been used and abused, the ones that we can bring and show your grace to. And God, for those who are Tamars themselves, those who have broken stories, God, remind us that there is no barrier that can keep us from your love. Give us breakthrough in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.